Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios' Amazon page. Go to castwavestudios.com and click the boldly going shopping tab and search for everything from Apple iPads to zebra striped Snuggies. Oh, it's so cozy. This supports the studio and helps keep the lights on. Click the boldly going shopping tab at castwavestudios.com.
Boldly Going Nowhere is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, a smarter way to listen to radio.
The Internet. The Final Frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we'll give you our coverage of the Too Many Games convention up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll talk about cheap Chinese knockoffs, and we'll answer this week's question of the week. What are the shows that everyone else loved, but you despised? I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakernis.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 73 of Boldly Going Nowhere. This is a show that's so popular you've never even heard of it. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And we have things to talk about, don't
yeah.
we?
Many things, everybody.
Oh, thanks.
Too many things, as it were. Too many, anyone?
Things?
And what do those things happen to be, Justin? Might I inquire?
Well, let's palaver about Too Many Games, which I tweeted after the event. I came back. I said, Too Many Games has considerably less games now that all the nerds have cleared it out.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And by nerds, I of course mean us.
I went there on Sunday, and I was like, yeah, wow, I came on the last day, because, like, I could tell that it was a convention. Like, I could tell that they were getting wrapped up, but I could also tell that, like, yeah, this place was packed
so
prior 2 days.
Too Many Games is a gaming convention located in a, well, it's located in Philly, but not really. It's in Oaks, Pennsylvania, which is kind of a weird, out-of-the-way suburb area of Philly.
It's located in Philly, but not really.
Yeah.
It was actually closer to the King of Prussia than Philly.
Yeah.
King of Prussia, the only reason I know that place is because of the mall there.
Which we actually got
Which
to go to.
Which we went to.
Nice mall.
Holy crap, what a nice mall.
Mm.
Yeah, so June 15th through 17th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. Too Many Games, was formerly known as the East Coast Gaming Expo, was formed in 2003 as an event focused on bringing classic gamers together to have a special occasion dedicated to classic game playing and collecting. Now, I would say that this convention is a lot heavier on the collecting aspect than on the playing aspect, because
yes.
really what this looked like was just a giant swap meet or flea market for classic game collectors.
Yeah, I agree. It was about 98% dealer's room.
Yeah.
And in fact, the dealer's room was so over-pervasive, and it really, I'd call it more of a swap meet or a flea market more so than a dealer's room.
I was pleasantly surprised by just how much stuff they had on sale. I mean, you could go and find basically anything from any console in any time period. And one of the coolest things about that place was that they actually, something I should have picked up but I didn't, was they actually had the header boards from old arcade machines in there. And they had our WWF WrestleMania one that I thought was really cool looking. And, like, it was just little stuff like that that made me go, okay, yes, this is definitely for the more hardcore.
Yeah, you're referring, of course, to the title placards that sit at the top of the arcade machine that has to say the name of it, right? And, yeah, those were pretty cool. There's plenty of cool artwork, games, consoles, accessories, including imported games as well, a lot of imports.
If I could make one last statement,
Well, you can make many statements. We've just started.
Well, yes, obviously. this is what should have been happening on the side in another building during Art of Video Games.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah.
This is something that should have been happening very close proximately during Art of Video Games.
I can see, though, that the Smithsonian probably less interested in having a lot of business and commercial transactions going on in association with a museum event.
Yeah, like they had, I mean, they had their gift shop, and there were a lot of video game related items that they were trucking out simply for this exhibit.
Right.
But still, I mean, I have to agree with Brian here. I mean, something, I mean, maybe not exactly on the museum grounds, but possibly, you know, they'll be like, okay, in this, like, one of the events to keep looking forward to is, in conjunction with this event, we're having another event at this place. You know, you should check this out if you're interested in purchasing some of these old
things. Yeah.
Because how much of the culture is steeped in stuff like this? It really, like, just trading games. I mean, it's something that goes back to when we were younger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, except for now we're using money to trade these games.
Instead of actually trading the games for other games.
Yeah. It's a complicated economic system where we trade pieces of paper that represent fiat currency. I think it was pretty cool, even if you didn't go in planning to buy a lot of things, just to see everything they had on display there. And I try not to spend a lot of money at these things, just because I don't have much of it to spend.
Yeah.
And
none of us do. But I think every single one of us ended up buying something.
Yeah, I picked up a few things. I wish I had brought it. I picked up a miniature turret from Portal 2.
Adorable.
That thing was pretty cool.
And, of course, there's a hidden button on the side that makes it say, "Are you still there?
I don't blame you.
I don't hate you.
That's adorable. There?
Let's go around the room and see just how much stash we packed up. Like, you got that. I know you got that Mega
Man. I got a few other things.
Yeah, you got the Mega Man poster, which I was really jealous about.
Now with Sheep Man.
Yay!
Yes, it has all of the Robot Masters from Mega Man's 1 through 10, as well as Rockman and Bass.
Nice.
Yes. Wow. Including Magic Man and Dynamo Man and Ground Man.
And Proto Man.
and Proto Man. And Cold Man. And gosh, I could probably list them all.
How many iterations of Fire and Ice Man can you possibly have?
Ice was 7.
I don't know how many.
Fire was 8.
Yeah, see? Okay.
And one last thing, I also picked up Assassin's Creed 2 for the PS3. And there's a small story that's attached to this one, a story about shrewd business practices.
Okay.
Because it was about an hour before closing on the final day of the con, and I was just walking by this booth, and this dude picked up a loudspeaker, a megaphone, and he spoke through it. For the next hour before the con closes, everything here is half off. Everything except for systems is half off. So I'm like, well, while I'm here, I wheeled around and I perused through his wares and I said, oh, there's Assassin's Creed 2 for $18. I've been meaning to get into the Assassin's Creed series, and like, this is a good place to start. I'm told that I can skip the first one, but that's the sort of
thing.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So I found Assassin's Creed 2 for $18. That is what the little sticker said. So I took it into him and said, "So I'll take this for $9, right?" And he said, "I'll give it to you for $6."
Yeah, that's true business practice.
I said, "Why $6, sir?" And he said, "I've got a whole truck full of these things. I'm just dying to get rid of them. Here, $6." Like, so I paid him my $6, and I walk away, and I say to myself, "Wow, I'm not a businessman or anything, but that was kind of foolish. I said I was going to pay $9 for it."
Right.
It's not like I would have been disappointed to pay $9 for it.
I think you both were foolish.
I didn't, you know, it's like I said earlier in another podcast about how I go to conventions to haggle for the prices of the Marvel maquettes. Well, that's because they're in triple-digit prices.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, I guess I just wasn't feeling it that day. I didn't feel like haggling him for, you know, down from $9 for this PS3 game. I would have gladly given him $9, and so I'm thinking, like, well, why did he give it to me for $6? Did he think that the word of mouth, I was going to say, like, hey, guys, $6, you know, $6.
They're practically
for
giving them
too.
Away.
I think more so.
I mean,
it's,
I,
it's
I,
a, it would be regarded as a different business practice because they were breaking down, they were closing up shop. It didn't really matter.
Yeah,
it's not like he was trying to encourage you to come back anyway. So I think it was more of a service and a compliment than actual business practice.
Knowing how I've been burned in the past, I would have immediately opened up to make sure that A, the disc was inside, and B, that the disc wasn't scratched a hole.
Yeah,
well, I already did. I actually compared 4 different copies of that and took the one that had the least scratched disc.
Done. Very shrewd.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I was, in terms of haggling, I was on my game.
Word.
Because I was going around. The thing is, with a lot of these vendors, I should say, they are, you know, gamers, they're nerds first, and they happen to be salespeople second or third. I wouldn't say most of them are that great of salespeople, and they don't all have the greatest social skills. If you walk up and you're assertive enough, they're generally just going to, okay. I go up to, like, okay, I bought a Nintendo DSi. And three games, and then, Brian, you gave me one. But I got Nintendo DSi and 3 games. I got that DSi for, I think, $55, which was, like, to me, it was like, wow, it's a, you know, really good deal. Because a used DSi, still probably over $100 at most places, I think. And I go up to the guy, and I think he had it for $70. I'm like, all right, well, I'll give you $60 for that. And he's just like, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you $60 for it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. and then he goes, he's like, oh, well, I can't find the charger. All right, $55 then. Okay. And then, yeah, I went to that same place where the guy was selling the half-off games. So I got a couple games for $5. Got a game for $10. I think all total it's been $20 on games and $50 on the DSi.
And you got very good games, too, by the way.
Yeah.
You didn't get, like, Nintendogs and Cats 2, the prequel.
Right, I didn't get Cooking Mama 3.
Yeah, you got, like, 4 cartridges, right?
Yeah.
What really kind of, like, infuriated me, though, was when you told me, because, like, for those of you who don't know, I was helping Justin out, because I've had a DS since 2006, and I was helping him pick out some good games, and one of the things that he mentioned to me was, oh, they didn't give me a charger for this,
yeah.
Right? So I was like, all right, fine. There's got to be somebody who's willing to sell this guy a charger for, like, I don't know, not even $10.
Yeah.
So you bought one, took it home, and it doesn't work?
And it was broken. Granted, that's on me for not checking it, for not taking it out of the package and checking it first. But at that point, I was like, we were pretty close to leaving, actually, at that point. So I'm just like, I need a charger. I went to probably 10 different tables trying to find a charger for a DSi. Couldn't find one. I actually bought it from the same guy who was selling the half-off games. Gave me one for $5, and
maybe it was karma.
I didn't bother to test it out. So
it was karma.
I bought one off of eBay for $3. I still haven't gotten it though. But anyways, let's go back to the general convention experience. Well,
Verizon stole our idea for t-shirts because they had the QR code on their t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we weren't the first ones.
QR codes on, like, just everywhere. The only reason, like, I thought it was pretty much ingenious for us to do that, just because we had just the QR code there.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, I think we did make some good contacts there. We did do some good, some solid networking.
By the way, if you want a t-shirt, a QR code t-shirt that you'll see on the cover photo, with us and Angry Video Game Nerd on the BGM Facebook page. If you want one of those, send us an email or put on the Facebook page, like, I want a t-shirt. That way we'll get a number of people who want the t-shirt so we can, you know, start pushing them out, and then we'll actually have them available.
Yeah, I guess speaking of Angry Video Game Nerd, I guess we buried the lead here a little bit, but obviously the biggest thing we have to talk about here, which I think we'll get to that because, you know, save the best for make them wait. James Rolfe, a.k.a. Angry Video Game Nerd, was sort of the headlining guest at this convention, and we did get an interview with him, so we'll talk about that.
He is native of Philadelphia, after all.
Yes, so yeah. he had been to that convention several times. Sean and Colin, did you guys buy anything cool? I think you did.
Let's go with. How about I'll do mine.
You
first.
You do yours.
Mine's first.
Collins
mine's
is a,
quick.
Collins is a whole story.
Collins is a whole story that will take up like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
hopefully not. But.
I got two T-shirts because I'm a T-shirt fan and I like to wear funny T-shirts. That's just me. Well, I'm actually wearing the one I bought. It says it has two lightsabers crossed and the unlit, and it says
an elegant weapon
in a more civilized age. And
it's
referencing Star Wars, but it's not too obvious.
Okay, that right there is Episode 1 Obi-Wan's, and that's either old Obi-Wan Kenobi's.
The thing
or
is, if you stare at it and you see the quote, and it's fine, but the fact that they're not lit up and they're just the handles,
yeah,
makes it unobvious to an average person that's not like
right.
really
yeah.
as nerdy.
Yeah.
And
that and the fact that quote isn't one of the more well-known quotes, you kind of have to be at least a little bit of a Star Wars
nerd
to know that quote.
And then I bought another one that says bow ties are cool.
Yeah, I saw that one. I didn't even realize that shirt you got at Too Many Games. I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
before.
That's the one there. It was two. It was two for 20. It was two shirts
two for
22, and each shirt individually was $12, so it was saving $2.
He's just so into Star Wars that you think that you've seen it all your life.
Right.
I mean, this is only the first time I've seen that shirt. I just didn't realize that was one that you got at Too Many Games. So.
Yep.
I'll go ahead and just mention the one thing I got, and then we'll go to Colin. I looked around, and I only bought one thing. And that thing was WWF No Mercy for the N64. Awesome game made by THQ. And I actually got it signed by the Angry
Let's
Video
Game.
Let's
get ready to Pixar!
Well, I was going around with Brian for a little while there while he was looking for N64 games. And
Is this in the days of... I used to watch wrestling. Is this in the days of SmackDown?
Yes, yeah.
This is in the days of the Rock and Vince McMahon.
Was this in the days
SmackDown
of SmackDown versus Raw?
Okay. This was in the days right before they had to change their names to WWE. This is in the days where they had Chris Jericho, they had Saturn.
Probably the highlight when I watched.
Yes,
I'll enjoy this game.
This wasn't right when Stone Cold had been like, you know. Austin 316 says,
now,
I just whooped your
now,
ass.
Now
this is more like yeah.
was
this
was
game,
Mick Foley still Mankind at that point?
Yes, this was. Well, no, this was when he had already been Cactus Jack and Dude Love and Mick Foley. This is right around 2000.
This
game came out in 2000, 2001 maybe, and it's very awesome. It's very cool. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. It's got a very good creator wrestler section. And yes, Sean?
The PlayStation version of a WWF Raw, you got to choose each person's like theme song. Is that will you have that here, and they'll have all their theme songs when they come in? Because that for me, I thought it was a kind of a neat thing.
They have their theme songs, but it's not customizable. Not like how you can do it with PlayStation.
Yeah, it is a cartridge, and he only.
I did enjoy that Create a Wrestler mode, and I'll tell you, I made some real freaks.
Mm-hmm. I made the genie from Aladdin one time. Just this huge blue blob that's like 6'9", and he's just like his.
Either was that or
his
Dr.
special
Manhattan.
Move was a belly flop. It was awesome.
Here's that or Dr. Manhattan with facial hair. I couldn't tell.
All right, let's go to the creme de la creme of these buyer stories, Colin.
All right, so I think it was the first day we were there. I was standing around with the guys up front. I think it was one of us was buying our pass, I think, while we were waiting. And I see this elderly Asian gentleman walking around, and he's holding a box. And I notice right away it's a Samsung Galaxy, which is a very popular tablet right now. And I'm thinking, hey, a tablet. And it says Samsung Galaxy, and I'm trying to read what it says. I'm like, Samsung Galaxy. And the guy notices I'm reading it, and he hears me say the word Samsung Galaxy, and he's like...
The magic words.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, yes, super fast. I'm like... And then he just walks off. Doesn't stop to say anything else. He just says his piece and then walks on. I'm
very
like,
crafty. He's playing hard to get.
I'm like, what the... Okay. So, cut to about 3 hours later, we had done our interview with Angry Video Game Nerd, and we were just wandering around. I think we were gonna try and do one of the tourneys they had going there, but we ended up not. So I walk by the table, and there's the elderly gentleman again, and he's with a younger partner, and I'm looking, and I see that they have this layout of tablets and stuff.
Right.
And I will say this much, they had some genuinely decent deals. Like, there was a MacBook there for, like, under $400.
It was a decent deal. And, well, the thing is, the whole... It's one of those too good to be true moments. It was equivalent to a pop up ad.
Yeah, it was. I was like,
where is that coming from?
What?
Justin's computer speaking to us.
Okay, that was coming from the site that I was on. But actually, no. There's a reason I'm on this site because I found a review of the MID. The review is titled "The Tao of the Cheap Chinese Tablet."
Yes,
but I'll let you tell your story first, and I'll read you the official review.
Okay,
post that link. Post that link on the Twitter.
Please do.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go ahead and say this much. So I get over there, and I'm looking at this table of stuff, and I'm like, okay, that seems good. That's nice. And then I'm looking at the tablets because I've actually been looking for a tablet for a while now. Like, I don't want to shell out $600 for like a 36 gig iPad, and you know, I don't want to, you know, I haven't really seen like an Android tablet that's really caught my eye yet that isn't under like around that, you know, lesser price. Most of the Androids
right.
are running at about $600 nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking around and I see this one that, you know, kind of catches my eye. I'm
right.
looking at it, and the younger guy walks up to me. He's like, oh yeah, it's super fast. I'm like, yeah, your comrade.
Do I react?
Yeah,
oh,
please do.
You buy. It's super fast. You buy. It's like tablet, and you press like here, and you can play movies, and it play the music, and
yeah.
the picture, and he was really insistent, and I said to him directly, I said, sir, I admire your enthusiasm. And he goes, he paused for a second,
looked
at me, tilts his head like a dog's looking at a high-pitched sound, and he's like, then he goes back to selling his crap.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think he understood what I said.
No, I think he understood, but I think what he was thinking was that you were aware of his game. As was I. I mean,
like they know that you know that they know that you're lying again?
Yeah. It's like, So finally, the guy's like, you know, most tablets I've seen, like, the closest tablet I've, you know, wanted that I've been looking at was a Kindle Fire.
Right.
And that's retailing for about $200.
Kindle Fire!
Right. So the guy hands me this tablet that I was looking at, and he's like, I sell for you, special price, $85.
A special price.
I'm like, $85. And I'm like, he's like, okay. I make you another special deal. I $80 right here. I'm like, all right, whatever, sounds good. Let me just go get some cash out of my bank.
And the thing is, like the stuff he had a really interesting. He had the display out, and it looked pretty convincing. But
can I just provide some appropriate backing music to this story?
Please. And I'll reenact for stuff like.
Welcome. China pad. Okay, the stadium. Daniel's on. China pad.
Right,
he's the greatest pad that you would have.
Anyway, so...
You will honor your family with
this
China pad.
I could really go for some General So's right now. is anyone with me?
General So's.
Anyway, so, to be honest, Sean was not convinced. I was of the opinion, I'm like, look, if it does the basic stuff, what do I care? You know? So I was like, alright, $80. I don't think I'm gonna get a better deal than that.
Right.
So I went out to the ATM, I got $80. I paid the guy, he handed it to me, and I opened the box, I turned it on, and I remember the guy said I was gonna have to charge it up for a while for it to work, right? So I was like, alright. I'm reading through the manual, it says you need to charge it up for at least 7 hours. I'm like, alright, so I'm gonna have to charge it up when I get home, right?
Right.
And the first thing Sean and I notice is I boot it up, and the loading sequence, it's a little Android alien, and it takes for fucking ever.
He sits there, like he's like, I know you're waiting a long time. I'm waiting too. I want you to relate to me waiting. So I'm going to sit here, And I'm going to, this is visual reference in the audio podcast. I'm going to sit there and look around.
He's doing his little shimmy.
He's like, this is an interesting thing. Oh, wow. Technology, fellas. What's the last thing you had? Oh, you had an Atari 2600, but this is a China pad.
Oh, by the way, we should.
And he looks up, and all of a sudden, he does like almost this Jim Carrey esque kind of shocked look moment on his face when he looks up.
What?
And he's like, "What is that?" And then this ship comes actually pretty quickly. I'm surprised at the quickness it came down after he sat there, like one of those film. I forgot this independent film that was just everything was like this long take, like a standard Stanley Kubrick esque timing, just. And all of a sudden, boom, here comes this saucer.
Yeah.
And he just kind of steps, he kind of hops on it, and then he takes off, and then it takes another 3 minutes of the android-esque symbol.
Yeah, and then, to be honest, every time I turn it on, it'd get to the point where the word android pops up on screen, and then the screen would wash out completely, and it would shut off. So I'm like, okay, the battery must be dead. That's fine, right? So, all right, so after the convention, you know, we go home. I plug it in as soon as I get back, and we all go to sleep. And that was
we crash at the studio, by the way.
Yeah, we crash at the studio, and then so now it's the next morning, and it's like 10 a.m. when we all wake up. So I'm like, okay, 10 a.m. This thing's been charging for 7 hours. At this point, it should be fine, right?
Right.
So I get up, I unplug it, I boot it up. I have to wait through the 20 minutes of the loading sequence again. And then it gets to Android. I'm like, all right, let's see what this baby can do. And the menu comes up, and it works for about 3 seconds. And then it shuts off again. I'm like, what the fuck? And then the one comment I don't want to hear, and it's the first comment of the day that I hear from Sean, well, you get what you pay for.
I am there. I am that guy that says the thing that you don't want to hear at the right time. I promise you that.
All right. So, of course, I'm irritated at this point. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm going to get my money back, and just I'll deal with that, right?
So what I originally said, I'm sorry to interrupt you. What I originally said when it didn't boot up, I'm like, hey, Colin. And you go, you turn to me like, don't you say it. Don't you fucking say it. And I was like, it's super fast. It's so good for you.
Anyway, so we go back to Philadelphia, and we're at the convention, and I walk straight to this table. I'm like, hey, you sold me this yesterday. It doesn't work.
I walked away because I knew I would cause further damage.
You would cause a scene.
And this story would on the podcast right now would take forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I walk up and I look at the guys. I'm like, hey, look, this doesn't work. I've charged it for 7 hours. Like the booklet says, and it still dies on me after about 30 seconds. And they're like, oh, let me see what happened. And he turns it on, he plugs it in, and it just starts working. I'm like, the fuck is this shit?
Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Let's clap.
Hey.
Let's clap.
Yeah,
that's good.
Okay.
All right, so...
God, this is the most racist episode we've done.
No.
Whatever.
I love how he did that right as the song was starting to like
We're
fade out.
We're not on public airways, Justin.
We can say what we want.
All right, anyway,
doesn't mean we should, but...
So anyway, I go to the guy, and he gets it to work, and... Still at this point, I'm nonplussed because I'm like, I get it home again. It's probably going to break. You know, I look at the guy. I'm like, hey, I want my money back. I just want my money back, okay? You can keep that. Everything's in the box still. The wrapping's still in there. Everything's still in there. He's like, oh, we cannot do a refund. I'm like, why can't you do a refund? He's like, we don't have any cash. How do you not have any cash? You're running a dealer's table.
What'd you do with are you the only person who bought one? And what did they do with your cash?
Exactly. So I'm like,
they've already spent it on cocaine.
So I was like, you spent it on opium, didn't you?
Tea.
You.
It's good tea.
Anyway, so finally, I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to argue. He's like, here's what I do. I do favor for you. I give you show model. Here. It work. It charged up fine.
Charged up fine.
I'm like, all right, you know what? Fine, just give me the new one. Give me the charger. I turn around and I left. And that one worked. And surprisingly enough, this one has continued to work. So I'm not complaining at this point. It's a decent tablet. It runs fine. And we've lovingly dubbed it the ChinaPad.
Yes. So I just want to mention, Colin, in addition to the review of your specific tablet, I actually found a frequently asked questions called cheap Chinese Android tablet facts.
Let's do this.
Apparently this is a whole thing.
Let's do this.
Thing.
I'm on board.
All right. I want to hear this. Let's go.
Are you ready to jump into it?
I'm ready.
Right, do you want to hear the review first or the fact?
Let's hear the review, and then we'll get to the frequently asked questions.
Okay. This is the Tao of the cheap Chinese tablet, the Mid M8000 3W series. I don't know if that's exactly what
but
I'm guessing that.
Give me 1 second. One thing I do want to mention is that in the manual for this fucking thing, it says you must configure your 3G settings in accordance with China Telecom standards. I'm like, I don't live in China.
I don't know how to do that.
I mean, and here's the crazy thing. The manual was printed in fucking English. Who in America or in any English-speaking country is using China Telecom?
I don't know, Colin. You could pass for a resident of Beijing.
yes, fit right in.
It almost makes me, I think, because I remember reading via the Wii News. he's banging the microphone against his head. I remember reading the Wii News that China Telecom was actually the original creator of the name, coined the name before iPad. And I think he did the poor boy copyright to the name slightly before it came out.
No shit.
Yeah, and Apple had to pay a bunch of his employees. So I think your pad is actually probably the original, but they lost the name because Apple bought them out.
Did you mention
recently.
The fact
they paid about, I think, upwards of like it was higher, almost in the billion range.
Did you mention the fact that the box just says Mid and has no markings, no brand,
serial number? Is it low? No,
nothing.
It's Mid.
It's Mid.
All it
it's
says mid. Is just Mid in big, bold letters.
It doesn't even say it as like one it's word, almost, like in fancy letter. It's M-I-D.
It's almost like Midis.
Mid.
It's almost
that's
like,
all it
it's
says.
It's almost like Midis, whatever that is.
So here we have
Justin, quick thing.
The towel.
Can you kill the music, please?
I'm dying.
Real shtick-esque.
Well, I still have about 40 seconds left in the song. I'll go ahead and kill it.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was the Tao of BGN. Thank you very much.
All right. So this is from, got to give credit. This is from futurelooks.com. The Tao of the cheap Chinese tablet, Mid M8000 3W series Android 2.2 tablet review.
Is there a picture?
By Michael Kwan. I can't.
If there's a picture, I can tell you whether or not it's mine.
If you kind of,
yeah.
It's the bigger one.
So do any of us want to give credit to whatever website the Chinese music came from?
YouTube.com.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a weird site. I gotta check that out.
Okay.
Is that popular?
All right, so I'll just read it. Tablets are kind of a big deal these days, but they can also be more money than you want to spend on that kind of device. Thankfully, there are more affordable options out there for you to consider. One such possibility is the Mid M8003W Android tablet, which was graciously provided to us for review by Geeks.com. It borrows much of its styling cues from a certain iProduct, but this tablet costs about a quarter of the price, and it comes powered by Google Android. Sounds good, right? Features at a glance. Take a look at the Apple iPad, BlackBerry Playbook, Motorola Zoom, and countless other possibilities from the major players. What do they have in common? They're all priced in the $500 or more range. This has opened up the market for cheap tablets, and the Mid is an example of this. As far as features are concerned, you get a rather unconventional 8-inch touchscreen display with 800 by 480 pixel resolution. I won't go into all the boring specs. It's got... it says it doesn't quite stand up to the 1 gigahertz processors that are making way into other Android tablets, but it's also priced accordingly at just $149.99. So maybe yours is even cheaper. This might not actually be yours.
Mine's even cheaper. The guy was selling it to me for $85.
It was the Mid Mini.
Dropped it to $80, but on the side of the box, there was a little hastily stuck on sticker that said clearance $79.99.
Okay,
yours is the mini mid.
Okay,
mid,
actually, mini. I think it might be the same one because it says right here. Strangely enough, the retail box carries next to no branding whatsoever. You get a clear mention that this is an 8-inch tablet PC and
quote, Andy the Android guy is prominently displayed on the side. That's the little dude. Yeah. The little dude in the animation.
Andy the Android.
He's that guy.
But there's nothing that says it's a MID, nor is there anything that says the model number is M80003. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
It is only when you open the box and take a look at the brief instruction manual that you get the model number. Clearly, they're not selling this device based on brand recognition. Along with the tablet itself, you get an AC power adapter, the aforementioned user manual, and an accessory dongle. Did you get a dongle?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It was the accessory dongle. It connects to the bottom. It's kind of like, you know, it's shaped like one of those cell phone chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And I connected it to the bottom, and it has an Ethernet port.
Right.
And two USB ports. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No man is complete without his dongle.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Okay.
It just makes me think of the previous company I used to work for.
All right. Initial impressions and build quality. I'm going to be honest. I didn't have the highest of expectations for this device, given its price relative to big brand alternatives. And the MID M8003 tablet stood up to that level of expectations. It feels cheap, and it very much looks like a knockoff. Remember when first iPod knockoffs started hitting the market, being sold as no-name MP4 players with Apple-like designs? This tablet is much the same. It tries to mimic the look of the more expensive Cupertino offering, but comes up way short in build quality, design, and performance. Doesn't really feel like it's going to fall apart per se, but it doesn't feel all that solid either. But it costs a quarter of the price. And we'll always come back to that huge pricing advantage until better quality, lower-priced alternatives start showing up.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the review.
I put it this way. I bought that about 2 weeks ago. It's working perfectly fine. I can surf the internet. I can use Twitter and Facebook. I mean, that's really all I bought it for. So, I mean, I'm not complaining.
It's one of those things where you kind of buy it as a browser. And I understand from, like, an advantage point, like, why you bought it. I'm not going to say... And I certainly don't accuse you of being swindled.
Oh, no, I got totally swindled.
Well, okay, here's what it says.
I'm talking about buying into his salesmanship.
Oh, no, I knew he was full of shit.
All right, well, here's what it says in the cheap Chinese Android tablet facts.
Okay.
It says these aren't knockoff. They aren't actually knockoffs. They're just extremely cheap versions of the same thing.
I'm pretty sure extremely cheap version of the same thing. I'm pretty sure that's like the definition of knockoff.
Well, yes. Basically what it says is they're, for the price conscious, they're the off-brand or no-name Chinese tablets. These aren't knockoffs of major brands. They're their own, quote, thing or whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you can call it a knockoff. Also, it says... If you're looking for one of these tablets, be aware that you may not have any recourse if something goes wrong in the transaction. Many of these are unregulated by even the Chinese government, so good luck getting any money back. Many times you'll have to pay for shipping back to China to get anything fixed. You might have to deal with customs with your country, although if you're getting one for personal use, you'll probably be okay. Just check the laws of your country first. Question, Colin. Did you check U.S. laws before purchasing this tablet?
I'm pretty sure at this point... If something goes wrong, I'm going to have to destroy it and bury it in my backyard because I don't think the American government can know that I've used such a thing.
I'm looking at the China Telecom website, and there's an investor spot, Colin, if you're interested in putting money into China Telecom services.
Well, the author says, speaking of customs, I didn't have any problems with customs here in the U.S. The U.S. customs law, as near as I can determine, allow you to import an item under $200. My MID 8650 came in a wrapper marked e-reader, and the value is $40. I don't know if that's the physical value of what's in the box, basically what the manufacturer pays, because it's not the purchase price, which is about twice as much, but $49 sounds about right.
You'll pay
more for trying to fool customs if they find out, so don't ask a company to do that. I didn't specify anything when ordering, and what was marked on the box was accurate.
Did you see the box, too, what it says here? It says 8-inch tablet PC... Here comes easy life.
That's got to be some kind of English.
Ladies and gentlemen.
A bad English translation.
This is the CEO of the China Telecom Service.
He seems like a nice guy.
He looks like he's a Chinese gentleman.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Definitely looks like a Chinese guy
there
to me.
So that's the face of China Telecom.
He's a definite bro.
All right. Well, I think we spent plenty of time on the
ripping on
China
my,
pad
my,
story.
So you know there were panels at Too Many Games.
But,
really?
By God, you're right. There were panels.
Oh yeah.
I saw all three of the AVGN's panels. One was simply a just an expose of
You're good.
One was simply a showcase of some of his older episodes. One was a Q&A panel that was actually it wasn't more than a Q&A panel. It was supposed to be, you know, 8 years of the AVGN, and in the hour of time, or was it 2 hours of time that he had, he was able to speak of the first year.
Yeah.
So look for the next seven Too Many Games to have seven more installments of 8 years of AVGN.
Well, unless he quits anytime soon, he's never going to catch up. So.
Possibly.
I'm going to be honest, I was kind of underwhelmed by that first panel.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting them to not just summarize episodes that they did. And also, I mean...
I feel like he went pretty well into the genesis of many of the episodes, you know, discussing his past as a video gamer, that, you know, he really wasn't a hardcore video gamer all his life. He was
right.
When he was very young, and then he only really rediscovered it in his college years. I'd say it, Mike Matai, a.k.a. Motherfucker Mike, who has always been kind of his crewman, was he gave him due credit for really revitalizing about his interest in games, and also his interest in putting on a show.
Yeah. I guess I was more underwhelmed by the audience, but that's not on them. That's on the mouth breathers who happen to be attending Too Many Games.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they were all mouth breathers or even all bad. We met some great people, but there were a handful of people who were really bringing the general level of intelligence in that room down.
Yeah, they're
way down.
When I was at the last panel that he was doing before they shut down the whole shebang, there were a number of people there who, I mean, it brought down the total room IQ by at least 10 points.
Yeah.
One person, and I'm not going to call out names because, one, I don't know you, and, two, you know, I'm not going to reference, you know, who you are, who you might be. So I don't feel like embarrassing you personally, but I will say that I thought it was kind of a stupid question to ask, you know, why do you get so angry when you review video games?
Someone actually asked the angry video game nerd, why do you get so angry?
Yeah. Also, there's another gem. If video games hadn't been invented, what would you be doing? I was like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, it has nothing to do to add to the conversation.
If Eli Whitney hadn't invented the cotton gin, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
I was thinking more that we had mentioned the one guy who accused him of ripping off the irate gamer.
Yeah, I was going to mention that guy.
And the temperature in the room dropped about 30 degrees after he had closed his mouth. Yeah, just don't. That's honestly not even an avenue worth walking down for us. To be perfectly honest,
there's always someone at every one of these panels or Q&A things who's like, "Hey, some people on the internet are saying mean things about you. What are you going to do about it?" Next question, please.
We're still talking about the guy in the back and behind me and very back was cracking me up simply because he was asking the most obvious questions. And it was sort of like I will equate it to Chris Farley's kind of a character of remember you had that review, but it's almost like that. But he was just like, raises his hand, yeah, I used to play video games too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it was like it's one of those things where it's a question, it's a comment, it's a quement, and like it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't even a quement.
Sorry, I have to reference
a statement.
I have to reference something real fast. There's a comic online. There's a Rage comic online, and it's like expectations. It's like, you know, you say something like really crazy, and you expect someone to be like no, and it's like turtle face. But then the reality is you write something really stupid and someone's like, dude, you're fucking stupid. And then they're like, I troll you!
I don't know who mentioned this. Like, maybe it was an act. He was being alive. The retarded YouTube commenter. The just meaningless and banal just things. Like, I know. To it's say. Like, it was really if he was doing that, if he was doing that as a shtick, like as a character, that was genius. But either he's a real genius or he's a real idiot.
Apparently, YouTube commenters actually do get off the internet every once in a while.
Who knew?
Oh, by the way, the third panel that we're talking about is one in which he and Mike Mentai just okay. They played potential video game episodes before us, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighter, which I had never heard of before.
Really?
Which is no, I hadn't. It's the four turtles and Casey Jones and Shredder and Hothead, who was some sort of Chinese dragon man, and they're Mortal Kombat fighting, and none of the turtles have their signature weapons.
Dude.
It makes me wonder how are they different at all, or is it Ryu Ken, other Ryu and other Ken?
Okay, here's the thing. With that game,
now Brian's on his Teenage Mutant Ninja.
No. This is more of a video game thing, son.
Okay.
That game was for NES, okay? They also came out with a Genesis version and a Super Nintendo version where you can use the weapons and there are more characters. So
anyways, too many games. It's the convention that we went to.
Actually, I'd like to discuss a couple things while we're... there's one moment there that I really enjoyed. I actually got to go around to some of the developers because... That was one thing we haven't mentioned yet. There actually were game developers there. I mean, yeah, some of them were really small.
Yes, and there were also some games to play and other things besides just vendors, but yeah. It was mostly vendors.
Well, yeah, but honestly, I think the developers do warrant mentioning.
Well, that was the coolest part to me. Thank you. Well, yeah. Well, so.
Like, what was it? I think my favorite one was Pixel Plus. What was the name, Sean? What was the name of that game?
Star Saver.
Star Saver.
It was a hybrid of Kirby's Dream Land and Castlevania.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
It was so awesome. Like, I mean, it was a game that you could tell was being designed for the iPad.
Yeah.
But it's a game that I can honestly see like myself.
Oh, that game!
Yeah,
that game was awesome.
Yeah, like, you're a little blob and you're chained to a chain chomp guy.
I really like. I mean, I'm not going to use the tighten up those graphics quote that we use all the time.
I will say, in terms of work, the graphics
are pretty tight.
Especially level three.
Yeah,
it was tight like a tiger. Anyway, no, but it was okay. The graphics were just need a little tightening up, but in terms of he was just working on it. This was almost like it was a beta that he was working on. I think testing these things out in public is something I think
is
brilliant, and I think more companies should do this. AKA, can I mention the game? No, I can't.
I would say this, like games like WoW. And they do send out invitations into the betas, but I think
live and like getting all sorts of people that don't really want to give you the email address, but just want to give you some offhand like comments, walking up.
I feel that that's the better way to go because they'll find errors for you that you wouldn't dream of thinking about in a million.
Exactly.
Years.
That's why it's probably the best thing to do that, just to go to a convention where you have these gamers and you got the people, your demographic audience right there telling you what you need to prove on, and then once you make those changes, you'll sell the game.
Yeah. Now, back to Star Saver. Star Saver was really interesting. It's, like I said before, it's a game that you know was designed for tablets and iPads and iPhones and stuff like that. Because it had that really simple gameplay method. Like it kind of reminded me of like Angry Birds meets Castlevania meets what's it called? Kirby.
Kirby.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was. I was like Sean and I were playing it for like maybe 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I turned to Sean after about 10 minutes and I was like, dude, I could see myself losing hours of my life to this game.
Yeah, I think the basic mechanics of the gameplay were very fun, and I think once. You know, the only thing with playing that is just the levels were pretty empty. Like, there weren't really many enemies to fight or things to interact with yet. But the base mechanics, you can tell, like, oh, this is going to be really fun once it's finished.
Mm-hmm. And that's not the only one. There was a couple of other games, like I think it was Dragon's Quest.
Dragon Feet.
Dragon Feet.
See, I was actually going to bring that one up. I really didn't like that one.
Really?
I thought it was funny.
It just didn't. First of all, the graphics were really hurting my eyes, It was kind of causing me to trip out a little bit.
Awesome. Well, that's because let me explain this. This particular game was built into an old NES.
You're right.
This guy actually programmed an old NES-style game, built his own cartridge, and it is generally, and it's an 8-bit side-scroller where you play a dragon. And the thing is, the first day I was playing it, I was playing it on a conventional television. But the second day, I don't know if they just lost the TV or they had to take it home or whatever.
This is when I saw it.
This is also when I first saw it. They had to put it on a. They put it up to a. They hooked it to a projection.
Right.
Yeah, and then they
put it on a bedsheet.
Maybe that was part of the problem.
Yeah, I think that was the problem.
Because it was like the edges were like moving and like folding. And it just like it looked like the level was unrolling like a poster or something, like unrolling as you scrolled through it, and it was just very, very uncomfortable.
I was laughing at it, and I was like, this is I was brutally honest, and I was laughing at his game, but he's kind of looked like the guy looked like Bill Gates anyway, a younger Bill Gates. And I was looking at him, he's like, you know, kind of almost has his head down. Like, I'm insulting him, but I was like, no, the reason why I'm laughing, I'm just like, it's something I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying this game because it's...
Laughter is a thing that human beings do.
Yeah.
When you're enjoying things.
Yeah, I was like, this is awesome.
Sean had to literally explain to the dude, look, I'm not making fun of you. I am enjoying myself.
Because he was giving me the stink eye, and I was like, I enjoy this game. And he's probably going to listen to this episode because I think we gave him a card, didn't we?
Or
did
we did, in fact.
Yeah, we did, in fact. I dude, I did not mean to insult you, but I was just saying, because you admitted you had some faults with the game. I just think it's bad in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, if you take enjoyment out of it. It's like us watching I'll just pull this out. Birdemic. It's us watching Birdemic and making fun of it, but it's or I could pick another movie.
I don't know. I wouldn't. Batman call, and I, Robin. I would not call the.
That's even worse.
It's like watching Batman Forever. Because Sean, I can assure you, if this guy who made this game knows what Birdemic is, he immediately turned off the podcast when you compared his game to watching Birdemic.
This game is not
with friends,
is not fighting
not by yourself
with coat hangers. Damn it!
Right, but anyway, I would say that was. I mean, that one was. Yeah, I would say even though the visual effects on it were not the most stunning, I think it does harken back to the old days, which in a way I enjoy.
The one thing I'll always remember about Dragon Feet, I didn't have the pleasure of playing it, unfortunately, but. You play as a dragon who was a standard, you know, square-ish, you know, raster sprite, and his body does not move when he walks. Instead, his feet kind of bevel back and forth to ambulate him across the floor. Those are his dragon feet.
Those are, in fact, his dragon feet. Also,
I'll
when
always
you duck,
remember those dragon feet.
When you duck, he doesn't like crouch down. He buries himself under the floor, and all you see is his tail.
Okay, but let's be honest here. This game was designed, programmed, and, you know, QA'd by one dude.
Right. I mean, the fact that you can turn it on and play it and works,
then,
that's already in
then
itself.
Then further along, after I expelled my guilt for laughing at him, his creation, we started going into, like, so, like, you just go to the particular websites to get all these parts for everything, and he just started explaining to me how he does this, and... It's really amazing. I really have just some mad respect for anyone who just goes back to old, not goes to new technology, but goes back to old technology and makes a game for the previous.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing, right? I asked him, like, are you just showing it here? Or are you selling it? He's like, yeah, I actually sold it. Like, I was selling these for like $30 a copy, and he had almost sold out his entire stock. He only had like three left. And that was on Saturday when I asked him. But there was another one. It was the Saturday morning RPG.
Yeah, I really liked that. I wish I had, in fact, a pad to play it on. Yeah. Maybe you could get it for your China pad.
Yeah, maybe you can get it for your China pad.
Well, no, they're releasing it on Valve.
Oh, sweet.
So you can get it on your computer.
We are reaching the end of our time. So There's probably more that can be said about too many games.
There was a panel about how to start your podcast.
And
we did not attend that one.
We missed it.
Because we already started it.
No, well, we missed it, and it was one I remember actually saying before we actually went to this event, we need to go to that.
We probably could have really benefited from it, but...
Right, well, and the problem was, it was at 2 o'clock on Sunday. We got up at 10. It's a three-hour trip.
We could have went to it, but we were too busy podcasting.
Oh.
Okay, so... Do we want to? Is there anything that we need for a part two? Do we need to talk about too many games anymore?
What we're gonna do? Do we feel good about our coverage? I think I'm definitely, as conventions go, I'm gonna say it's middle of the road of the ones I've been to so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
like if I had to put it on a scale of conventions, I think it's a little lacking when compared to MAGFest.
Starting to feel like BGN at the movies.
Okay, anything's going to be lacking compared to MAGFest, but let's give some constructive feedback. I would say what they need is more
games
to actually play. But also, playable games. I think a lot of it would help would be decorating the place. Like, sprucing it up a little bit. It has that just kind of like you feel like you're walking into a
warehouse.
Yes.
More so than a convention center.
It felt like this. I'll rename it to too many merch.
Right. That's why I said like swap meet or flea market.
Merch. Too much merch. It felt like a nerd's flea market.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll say this much: like,
put up some banners or something. Like, just give a little.
There needs to be something else because weren't using half of that space. And they could have used a lot more space and have a lot more backers.
I'll say this much: I'll give it. I said it was the merch deals were great. The panels, I mean, there were some good ones there, but overall, it was generally lacking in my opinion.
Yeah. I didn't see that independent movie with Brian Posehn called Lloyd the Conqueror. Apparently, they had that.
They were promoting it. I don't think it's actually.
I think it's Posehn.
I don't think it's out yet.
It's Brian Posehn.
Oh, Posehn. Yeah. Sorry.
All right, but I would say like. Great deals. I would say they need to. I think the things they need to work on is decorate it up a little bit. I would say they need a little bit more, personalities there. I mean, Angry Video Game Nerd. They had who else? They have. They had Angry Video Game
There's
Nerd. Brentel Floss,
the gentleman who wrote that Super Mario book.
Jeff Ryan.
That was actually
when we were talking about the ChinaPad. I actually bought a signed copy of his book too, and I read three quarters of it in like a night.
Yeah,
and then we got to interview him the next day.
Yeah, so we have that. We don't really need to go into it because we have a whole interview with him. So
yes,
but it was
great. And we'll release those along with this later on this week.
So tune in for
this week is interview.
Tune in. I think we'll probably put him in these orders. The first is the chiptune guy.
Yeah,
inverse phase,
and then we have Jeff Ryan, and then Angry Video Game Nerd. So those are the ones you want to look forward to. And also, we'll get these plugs out of the way. So it's time for plugs.
And then we'll wrap up with question of the week.
Being recently unemployed, I recently got laid off. If you want to know about it, just tweet me. It's Sean Helms. Anyway, so go to castawaystudios.com and click on the Boldly Going Shopping tab. Basically, this supports the show, and it's kind of like an income for us, so I can support the studio without withdrawing from my already blank bank account. Just go there and just shop through us, and you can save that link, and then just do that as well. So shop through Amazon because, I mean, everyone's buying the stuff there anyway. I mean, is there anywhere else to shop? I can't think of anything. Nah, only
places that suck.
Yeah, only places that suck. You just go to Amazon. I mean, and you can click right through if you don't feel like shopping on our site.
All right. Well.
So do that.
All right. So one last thing on Too Many Games. We're each going to be posting a blog article about our thoughts on the convention itself. You know, because obviously we had a lot of opinions which we didn't really get to get out because we only have so much time to devote to this, so look for those on the blog later this week.
All right. Yes. Well, why don't you, Brian? Why don't you take us into our question of the week segment?
Question of the week.
All right. Before we do that, let's go ahead and say that you can follow each and one of us individually on Twitter. Just go ahead and go to the Boldly Going Nowhere CastWaveStudios.com page. Go to the VGM bios and take a look at our bios, and you can actually talk to us and send us any messages that you want.
Yes.
I can be found at Brian Mass at BMassey 1987. And feel free to ask any questions that you might have for Question of the Week. Now, this question, let's see here. It's going to be a roundtable discussion. What show did everyone like growing up, like everyone around you, like say at school or on the playground, that everyone liked but you hated? And we're going to start with Colin.
I'm going to say it's a tie between Mighty Max and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
All right.
Because when I was a kid, I hated both of those shows. It's really weird. Like, now, I still can't watch Mighty Max because I never got it. But now, I look back at, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and I just laugh my ass off.
I was a big Power Rangers fan growing up, actually, so...
Yeah.
So
yeah, you and I were done professional.
Yes, we're done professional. Actually, no, because I can look back on it and I can be like, "Yeah, I see why why you didn't like it."
I mean, it's I wasn't really a fan of the live action shows. I was more of an animation fan. Who's that Pokemon?
It's Pikachu.
Nope, it's Bulbasaur. What the fuck?
God damn it!
Grandma taking a shit in the dark. What?
Okay.
All right. So Justin.
I was going to say something that would piss Brian off, but I decided to go with something else.
Yeah. I bet it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, isn't it?
It was. Yeah. But no, actually...
Let's not start that war
The thing
again.
Is, I didn't really watch the show because I already... Like, I disliked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to the point that I wasn't even interested in watching the show. So yeah. I can't say I hated the show because I didn't watch it. But one show that a lot of people I knew really liked when I was a kid that I hated was on Nickelodeon. It's called Rocket Power.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so Rocket dumb. Power.
So dumb.
Oh, my God.
Just Rocket a really Power. Dumb show. Just really dumb. That's all I'm going to say. It was
spoiled
dumb.
Spoiled bastard children in Southern California.
Yeah, that is... Entitled, that, I think that is the height of the extreme phase. Yeah,
entitled Extreme Sports Punk Brats.
Yeah.
And they're...
Dude, I can do a McTwist.
That's dumb.
I mean, I was a skater, and me and my friends used to make fun of it.
Yeah, I imagine you must have had a
we had a ball with
that
it.
Show.
Like, hey, dude, you do a split, you know, melon side slide, and we're like, we're listening to this, and we're like, that is not even a trick.
Shoobies.
Yeah, exactly.
They had all these stupid like lingo terms that I think they were the creators of the show were hoping these would all like catch on as catchphrases, Shoobies.
It's like they took a bunch. It's like they took a bunch of executives, threw them in like kind of like a Jamba Juice place, and then got them drunk. Then took them home, and then
Jamba
then,
Juice.
Let me ask you a question. What the fuck was up with? Oh, he's the new kid, so he's the squid.
Well, I think the
that was so stupid.
Sort of this catchphrase thing I was talking about. I think the creators were hoping like, oh man, like after this show's on. Elementary schools all over the country, kids are going to be calling the new kids squids. That's just going to be the new thing. That's what new kids are going to be called. They're going to be called squids. Nope.
It's
didn't,
fucking stupid.
No.
It was written like old people trying to be hip.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was his nickname Squids or Squints?
Squid.
Squid.
Squid, oh, okay. like the thing that came out of Dr. Shaw in Prometheus.
See our Prometheus review.
Why, oh, why
it's got
me.
Teeth and shit!
Okay.
All right, so jellyfishing with you guys. Fuck you, SpongeBob.
Okay.
Stop. All right, I got it.
Please stop.
Sorry.
Who's right, SpongeBob?
Sean, what's yours?
What's my what?
What's
I forgot.
God damn it.
SpongeBob enters the brain. It kills your brain cells.
Okay.
Oh, question of the week. Yeah. The show that everyone else liked that I seem to dislike.
Yes.
As essentially what you're trying
no,
to go
that you
go
hated.
With.
Yes.
That I hated. I mean, hate's a strong word.
Well, okay. You know what I mean.
I'm going to take the grandmother approach to that.
Dislike.
Literally, like, you know, when they would say, when they would be like, hey, did you watch that last night? And you're just like,
no.
You know.
No. I will say, because I was a bad fan of the books and not the TV show, Goosebumps.
Goosebumps?
Yeah.
I hated it. I looked at it and I was like, and I hated it just because like the especially the mask episode. I thought it was the hour long special whatever they had during prime time,
yeah,
which was meant for Saturday mornings later almost at 11 in the afternoon.
I love you and I are you afraid of the dark.
I forget what it was, but there was an episode where it was based off the book where like these kids go to camp and all of a sudden like at the very end. Like it's really messed up because like a werewolf or something on the loose, but it ends up being that they're on Mars.
Oh, actually, I got another one that people loved that I despised.
Okay,
and don't hate me for this, please.
Well,
do not.
No, this is a judgment free zone.
This is a judgment free zone. Salute to your shorts.
Salute your shorts.
I didn't like it.
I didn't realize people actually watched this.
I'm
out.
You're out.
I'm out. John, we can't be friends anymore.
Oh, No.
Now, I think if you'd said, hey, dude, we'd all be in agreement.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Fuck, hey, dude.
What the fuck was up with that show?
Hey, that show.
Dude. Hey, dude.
No, right. No one liked that show.
All right, Jordan.
Jordan, your favorite.
Okay. It's a toss-up between two. One of them will probably inspire the internet to hoist me over their shoulders and triumphantly carry me through a ticker tape parade. And the second one will likely cause Flame War 3. Let's start with the former. TRL, Total Request Live.
Yeah.
My senior trip in high school, we went to New York City, and the entire itinerary was derailed because the entire class wanted to camp outside of the TRL studio in Times Square and just look longingly through that window.
Dude, facepalm.
I know. No, we had to do the same
hours.
Thing in band our freshman year.
And
Lloyd dragged us to that.
That's why I didn't go to New York.
What always amazes me about TRL is that there is probably someone out there in the world right now who is joking about how there's no music videos on MTV. Isn't that nutty? That's been true for about 14 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
TRL,
TRL was
the last bastion of music videos on MTV there ever was, and it was the most insulting, just caustic,
mind-numbingly dumb.
I can't even put my words together. So yeah. so the pudgy host said, it's like an hour-long show, and he's like, call in today to ask for the music video you want to see. And it's like an hour-long show, and four videos get shown because at least 50 minutes of the show is just faffing about in the theater, watching all these 12-year-old girls scream their heads off for no reason. And when they show the videos, it's 1 minute of the video.
Yeah.
Carson, I
because
suck your
not,
dick.
Not only are we not actually having music videos, full music videos anymore, you're only going to get to see 1 minute of the video, and you're going to fucking like it, little shits.
And also, there is no request in Total Request Live.
Let me ask you this. Has anybody seen the Robot Chicken version of that? Where they're requesting it's that, but it's C-SPAN?
That I loved. I loved that version just because it poked fun of it, plus C-SPAN.
Vote House of Delegates Representative House Paul! Whoop whoop!
And then just like, 2 seconds later, you got like this Lindsay Lohan character like, oh my god, I love the head of state! Woo!
Alright, Jordan, what was your other one?
Wait, actually, just one other thing. How does Carson Daly still have a fucking career after TRL?
Does he have a career?
Does he? I was going to ask, what is he doing now?
He does a late night show on CBS.
Really? He sucked a lot of dick.
With Carson Daly, yeah.
I had no idea. That's like a forgotten late night show.
I think I'm with Brian on this. I think he sucked an enormous amount of cock to stay on TV.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing.
Here's the funny thing about that show, too, is that that show has gone through at least three different format changes,
and they all were terrible.
And like the thing is, he started doing this on the road thing because he wasn't getting enough money to warrant a studio filled with people who were there for free. So I'm like, damn.
So just doling out 60-second-long clips of videos on a channel that is ostensibly supposed to be nothing but music videos. Just seems like the ultimate hubris, the ultimate insensitivity towards their intended audience for the show.
Why was Korn on that show so much?
They were popular.
They're corny.
Why was Korn anywhere? Okay, let's just what was the other show?
South Park. I cannot stand South Park.
Okay,
I never have.
Boy, did you, that really? Ooh, really? Yeah.
Wow.
That was like when that guy asked that question at Angry Video.
I anticipated as much. That's why I wanted to lead with the other one.
You know what? Here's the thing. Actually, I respect your opinion because a lot of people adore it. We were just talking. I was just admiring it when we were at the table. We were talking about it right before you came up.
Mm-hmm.
No other people that I have talked to with MI, like kind of a nerdy, demographic. Have an opposing viewpoint on South Park, and they don't like it. Mm-hmm. Like only because, like, I'm assuming your reasons are other than subject matter.
To be fair, South Park is a forum for social commentary and pop culture references. Both things that I do enjoy watching. However, South Park itself is just the framing device, the style. Is so off-putting and disgusting to me that I literally just cannot watch it.
No, I don't blame you for that. And
it's like the same reason I can't watch the Office. It's like I can't watch it because it's bad cinematography and it's somebody without it's a monkey with a camcorder and that bothers me. It's sort of like it's not the content. Mm-hmm. That puts you off is how the content is being distributed.
The second major point is I'm a fan of voice acting. I've done voice acting in the past. I've won voice acting competitions. I really appreciate the art of voice acting. Parker and Stone do not. They really could not give less of a shit about giving an distinct voices to any of these characters. They are basically the same.
The only person who had a distinct voice was Isaac Hayes, and now he's dead.
I will say this. I've been a fan of that show ever since it came on, but there have been times where, like, you know me. I have an iron stomach. I can watch anything. South Park managed to disgust me, and it was a very recent episode. It was the one where the guy on the police force goes undercover as a prostitute.
Yeah.
I was like, are you really fucking... I'm not going to even say what they do, but I literally, once I saw that, I was like, are you really fucking doing that?
Yeah.
Hello there, children.
As a counterpoint, may I suggest that there was, about 10 years ago, there was a Simpsons episode in which Homer Simpson is raped by a panda bear.
Yeah.
I would easily watch that episode more than almost any episode of South Park.
And then he danced to Charleston.
He danced to Charleston before getting raped by the panda bear.
That's true.
I will say one of my favorite South Park episodes was the one of criticizing George Lucas and Steven Spielberg about raping Indiana Jones. I thought that was probably my favorite just because the content had references to other movies where rape was involved.
I think okay, my feelings towards South Park, I'll sum up thusly. I see South Park in the same way that I see, say, the Colbert Report. Not that I think either of them are bad shows personally, right. But they're shows that, while I recognize serve important functions, I don't actually have much desire to watch them on a regular basis. They're fine, but I don't really have a desire to go out of my way to see them.
You have to be, like, for me, watching South Park, you have to be in the mood for it. For me, I'm pretty sure some other people can agree, like, you can't it comes in spurts. Like I can't sit there and watch like a bunch of episodes of South Park. I have to watch one episode maybe the one the shake weight one, which I'm replacing.
I actually really like that episode. I like the shake weight episode.
I'll say this much there. Here's my opinion on South Park. There are moments where the subject matter is just so poorly transmitted and you know it's just so disgusting that you can't enjoy it. I'll admit there is the one episode that I honestly thought anybody remember they did where they show Muhammad.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They did the first episode where
that was Cartoon Wars, right? It was a two-parter.
Right.
I actually did see that one, and I rather liked it.
Yeah, but it was the first one was they were well there actually there were I think there were three total. There was Cartoon Wars Part 1 and Part 2, where mm-hmm. in the first one, it was Family Guy was going to show an image of Muhammad, and then they were going to... What's it called? And then they got a lot of flack for it. Like, mm-hmm. I remember...
I found myself greatly sympathizing with Cartman, which mm-hmm. I don't think I'm supposed to do most of the time.
No.
But that's what happened.
No, it's fine. And then I remember when that episode came out... Comedy Central had actually gotten a threat. Like, they're, like, some dude had parked a van packed with explosives right in front of their general headquarters. And so, like, Matt's, was it Trey Parker and Matt Stone got a lot of flack for that. And then, like, what was it, 2 or 3 months later, yeah, they did it again.
Yeah, so...
Like, it was like, what was it? It was a, like, they were going to show an image of Muhammad, and it was a bear, it was like, what was it? It was a dude in a bear suit.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, they aren't backing down, are they?
No. And that's why, why I like about them.
And that's what I would say. I would say that some of their shit is just downright disgusting, but I will admit that they've got the balls to actually, you know, go places where most people are saying, I don't think we should go there.
So they just they say F it. Just do
so
it.
Would we agree then that South Park is at its best when they are satirizing social issues? When they're just trying to tell little stories about their characters, not very good. Like,
yeah.
If there's no issue
actually,
being lampooned and it's just about the characters,
I'd say it varies.
Yeah,
it varies. My favorite episode in terms of characters, just characters, is Osimo the robot. When Cartman dresses up as a fake robot to get pictures that might, you know, frame him, that like a little film thing that before he gets it developed, that of Cartman, I guess, doing a dance.
Dressing
as Britney Spears. I think some video he's trying to get, like a videotape.
Yeah, Butters took a video of him dressed as Britney
Spears. His scheme was he dresses as a robot, and Butters is basically his personal robot, and it almost gets to the point where Butters has his mezzanine as a depository, and he has to go stick it up his butt.
Yeah, he has a suppository.
All right, well, now
see,
we're
now
just...
See, that for me, I thought that was funny, but then that was characters contained within inside themselves.
Okay, well, now
that was the exception to the rule. But anyways, what you were saying, Brian?
I was just saying that, South Park's good.
I think that's enough about South Park.
Sorry.
So you said
Mighty Max and Power Rangers. You said Ninja Turtles.
No, I said Rocket Power.
Okay, you said Rocket Power. But Ninja Turtles, and you know what? I don't blame you for that, even though I am a Ninja Turtles fan. Sean, you said,
I forgot. What
Big
I
for- bad Beetleborgs.
No,
that's not what you said. But
no, I forgot. Fucking forgot.
You said
what
salute
it.
Your shorts.
Salute your shorts. Salute your shorts. You said salute your shorts. You said South Park,
and TRL.
So my show that everyone loved growing up that I absolutely despised, Scooby Doo.
Which one?
All of it.
yeah.
All of it. I'm sorry.
Scooby Doo.
Where are you? It stemmed from me just going like, I don't like that. Ugh, stop bugging me. Into this like extreme hatred
Scoob.
Of it.
Yeah. Like, hey, Scoob.
Because like for the longest time, and it doesn't help that I had a kid sister who's 6 years younger than me, who loved it and watched it every fucking day.
Oh, that sucks.
So, like, I don't know. I'd be watching it, and, like, especially the newer series, I mean, they pander to the lowest common denominator. Like, they'll be like, we're extreme sports, but we're Scooby-Doo. And, we're on the internet, but we're Scooby-Doo. And it's like this really stupid, just posing kind of bullshit.
I think Scooby-Doo is a attractant and, like, a magnet for retarded people, as a Mickey Mouse church are for fat stupid chicks.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Okay.
Okay.
That was a very, very loaded statement.
You know what? You know what? I stand by my statement.
I think we're just going
to go ahead and tell me I'm wrong.
Well, like, I don't know. Like, what's everyone else's opinion here?
Well, I will say the Scooby-Doo universe is a lot more interesting if you read this cracked article that was about like six animated shows whose worlds were actually like terrifying, like dystopias. And the Scooby-Doo one, basically the point that the author made was, why is the economy so terrible that all of these like brilliant inventors and geniuses can't get jobs and have to resort to a life of crime? And why is everything abandoned? And
also, yeah. Also, why do five people and a dog feel the need to get in the car together?
Here's a question.
I mean, because
like, what? No one has jobs. No one is working in
this
world.
Here's a question: why the fuck can't I hang out with Batman and Robin? Why do six people and why do five kids and a dog get to hang out with him?
Why the fuck can't I hang out with the Harlem Globetrotters, for fuck's sake? Why not?
Oh, it's a question.
Or Sonny and Cher.
Play Sweet Georgia Brown.
It's a question that may never be answered. I'll play it.
I have my Batman Forever credit card.
I'll play it, but not because you told me to.
Okay.
Well, I'm definitely backing Brian on how extraordinarily formulaic the show is.
Oh, yeah.
It is the exact same story every single time.
I
do remember watching the pup named Scooby-Doo when I was a kid.
Scrappy Doo
with red herring. I knew you were going to mention that. They have this chubby abrasive ginger kid friend. Oh yeah, and so
it looks at Colin. Oh yeah.
So,
no, his name is
Red Herring, and his job is for almost the entire cast to think that he is the perpetrator of whatever crime or mystery they're investigating that day, and he's exonerated in only the last minute every single time. Because his name is Red Herring, you see.
All right.
Actually, no. The way I remember it was that young Freddy. It's like
young Freddy always thought it was Red.
Yeah, but then like Daphne was just like, "Shut the fuck up! Stop being stupid."
I wish she would literally say that.
And like, but
it was either Daphne would tell him he's stupid or Red Herring would come out and punch him.
Yeah. Like, fucking, and the worst offender out of this entire concept has got to be Scrappy Doo.
Please, Lord, no. I'm saying shut it down right there, because we're not going into Scrappy
Doo. I'm sorry. Don't.
Brian.
Yes.
Brian.
What?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Puppy power.
No, we are at an hour and 20 minutes. We are not starting a discussion. All right, Scrappy Doo. That is happening.
Okay, yeah, I guess
fuck Scrappy Doo.
I will say this. I do think that the series is extremely formulaic. I just think, you know, like it does pander to the lowest common denominator, and it is just really fucking lame.
Yeah, it's a terrible show. All right, so Justin. I think I'll agree with Colin that it's sad that none of us get to hang out with the Harlem Globetrotters. So by request, we'll go.
Play us out with
Sweet Georgia Brown. So until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Quickly, it's flat pass.
Hey, over here, pass me the rock, bruh.
Yeah, look, I'm bouncing between my legs.
Yep, bounce it with my dick.
Woo. Oh, yeah.
So, have you Washington Generals, gentlemen, ever won a game? Ever? How are you still in the league?
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.